Skies.
Hey, welcome to Montucky Skies. I'm Biggs.
This is Adrian.
Adrian's beating right now, so he's occasionally going to have a needle in his mouth. So.
Yeah, and bleeding.
Right, and it's not some weird like Silence of the Lambs thing where I'm making an Adrian suit or anything, so don't get that idea. It's just...
You couldn't afford an Adrian suit.
Yeah, he's just Native American, so he beads a lot.
It's almost powwow. My daughter's going to be dancing this year, so I have to get this stuff done.
Yeah, I wish white people had something similar, but...
You do.
What is that?
It's when you guys all get into a big line and march and shave your heads. And...
But that's not everybody, man. I think, like, if there's anything that, like, maybe puts all whites together... I don't know, man. Like
Ku Klux
maybe,
Klan?
Shopping at the Gap.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I got it. Black Friday, dude. Ironically.
Oh, that's like Thanksgiving. Black Friday. Thanksgiving thing?
Yeah. That's something that all white people do. They get in line for like
maybe
7 hours.
Maybe that's why I enjoy it. I'm half white. That's why I enjoy it.
I get the best of both worlds.
You know, I heard an argument the other day. They were talking about Obama being the first black president. Somebody's like, he's only half black, so you could consider him a white president as well. And I was like, yeah, but he looks a little dark to be considered white.
Well, you know, they always say, too, that Bill Clinton was the first black president.
Right. How does he feel about that? You think he still advertises that one? I'm betting he does.
I think when he's talking to the ladies, he does. He's like, you know, America thinks that I'm black because...
Yeah.
Ask Monica Lewinsky. Right. Why should they think I'm black?
Yeah, you know what's really crazy about that, too, is he set up an office in Harlem to really play up the whole... I'm dead serious. We're laughing,
when Hillary
but I'm
was
dead
going
serious,
for Senate,
man.
For Senate,
yeah, after they moved to New York, he set up his office in Harlem.
True.
Which was actually... It was a really cool thing because he was basically... He found the poorest section of Harlem and set up his office because the idea was that it would stimulate business around that neighborhood. But, yeah, now it just looks pretty... It looks bad, dude. Yeah. The whole first black president thing and then, like, him being in Harlem. Yeah. Who would have known that we'd actually get... Did you ever think you'd get a black president in your lifetime? Or, like, anybody not white?
You hope... Well, you know, I got... When I was a kid, what was it, 84? 88? When the Reverend Jesse Jackson ran?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking at that time, okay... He's not going to win. He's a little bit too polarized character.
How old were you in 88?
88. I was 13, 14.
Okay. All right. So you were old enough to have these thoughts. I was like, man, you were you're a smart-ass kid. I was like 9. My thought was like...
I watched Nickelodeon.
Why is this on and not cartoons?
But the... I thought that he wasn't going to win just because he was too polarizing. Just like the Reverend Al Sharpton.
Yeah,
I watch his show on MSNBC sometimes, and he's not bad. This sounds horrible, but he's like controlled now, whereas before he was just a little bit too nutty. But he wasn't going to win either because he's too out there.
Yeah, he's.
But when I saw Barack Obama,
I don't think he's out there. I just think it's the old guard versus the new guard thing. I think like. Obama's part of the new guard, like Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, they're part of the old guard, which is like, when they came of age, it was, what, during the 50s, the 60s, you know, shit was really fucked up back then. Not that it's not fucked up now, and especially in certain parts of the country, but I mean, you know, it was a lot different, you know.
But,
there was lynchings everywhere, there was segregation and all this stuff, and so... Their idea of fighting was, I mean, they were fighting for their lives, essentially. And I don't think they really do that anymore, for the most part. And Obama, like, grew up where stuff wasn't as polarized because of the work that they did. Like, people forget that, but like Jackson and Sharpton, they did really good work like back in their earlier days, but then they just started getting silly later on because you're always looking for a fight.
The one thing I remember thinking when Barack came president was, and this sounds like I'm
cold. Let's get down. Didn't you?
Oh, did I? With my wife, you mean?
Yeah.
Hey, baby. Bump, chicka, bump. No, that'd been racist. I remember like being excited because you're witnessing history, you know? Yeah. Especially, you know, for our country, the United States, to be as progressive as it's supposed to be. And then when you live here and you realize, you know what? Really, it's not as much as people think or would like to project it to be. Yeah. I was just excited that we actually were going to have a black president, but then part of me wondered, did he not win just because people wanted to have a black president? I mean, I respect the guy, he's a president and everything like that. He's becoming lax. He's not doing it as much as I had hoped that he would maybe try to.
Yeah. Well,
to do.
Okay. I got a couple of thoughts on that.
Okay.
So the first thing is, like, I don't think he was elected just for being black. And the reason why is because you had guys like Sharpton, you had like Carol Moseley Braun running a couple of years ago. Like there has been black. There's Alan Keyes in the Republican nomination. I know. Can't even say that without snickering.
I mean, people with a chance.
I mean, if people, like, if, how can I put it? Like, if people were just electing him because he was black, it would have happened already. I don't think we just suddenly hit this apex in, like, 2010. But I think what it was he had this message, and then people were like, I think it helped him in the end more than hurt him. A lot of people thought it would hurt him. I think it helped him because he did, like, have a great message, and then, which was like, I'm going to reach across the aisle. There's hope. We can change things. But, okay, so here's the problem. And this happens with every presidential candidate. You fall in love with, like, the candidate, but you're not so much in love with the president. Like, because when you get into office, like, he ran on compromise, you know, and now he is doing compromise, but it's really difficult to deal with because you say compromise, but you really want your way, not the other way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Totally.
And, like, they're, and hardcore Republicans and liberals, like hardcore liberals, will never admit to this. But I mean, like, they'll sit there and talk about compromise, but they don't fucking want compromise. They want, like, their way. Compromise to them is the other side giving up.
Exactly.
And, like, Obama is compromising on a lot of shit.
And that's so the part that's so disenchanting is that I am not at all tonight preparing to say that I'm a Republican. at all. But that's what's becoming more and more. You know, you become disenchanted when you're growing up. You become disenchanted with something, and that's how you pick what political party you're going to assign yourself to. You know what I'm saying? Kind of in a way.
I could see how that would be some people's paths. Yeah.
And but I'm becoming disenchanted with the liberal party.
The Democrats?
Yeah, because
the Green Party.
They're
pretty
ruler.
Liberal.
the Labor and the Tories. Because of the thing, same thing you're just saying. They're not. It used to be where you'd sit back. They don't want to compromise. Republicans just want to have it their strong arm. But it's the same way on both sides. And so you're like, you dumb motherfuckers, what's going on? I don't understand. You know, like, you can't. That's the pot calling the kettle black, and not because he's a black president.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying?
I love that you have to throw that
in. It's turning me, and I think a lot of younger people, off to the whole political process, more so than it did in the 60s and the 80s.
The irony of all this.
It's going to be scary, because then you're going to get left with only the few hardcore people who believe and vote and stuff. That's how our country's going to come to
an end. The irony of that is this was, this last election, and by last election, I mean a presidential election. It was the highest, like, young turnout they'd had in decades. And that's the irony.
That's what worries me. That's what I was talking about.
But, I mean, he's not. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of things that could happen. The political landscape changes all the time. But people, how can I put this? Like, people get turned off. Bases get turned off. It just happens. Like, a re-election for president a lot of the time is way more difficult than the initial election.
Because you haven't had nothing to compare yourself to.
Right. You know? And now everybody knows, like, what you've done.
You can win an election and based on everybody's hatred for the current president.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you can. I mean, that's kind of how George W. Bush got in there in the first place. Well, that and election fell off a truck.
Yeah,
but other than that, I mean, like, that's why the people that voted for Bush, a lot of them, like those independents that swung towards the red, it's because they just fucking hated Clinton. And the irony of that is, like, he was running against Gore, but people who were sick of Clinton were, like, voting for W. And, I mean, that's just politics.
Yeah.
But I got to be honest, man. I don't want to spend the entire time talking about that. Like,
put it over.
Yeah, it's cool. But I'm glad we talked about it because we never really hit podcast or political stuff on the podcast, and we should in the future. But I just it's fucking depressing right now.
That was my point.
It really is, and it's gotten to the point where like I take in the news enough to be informed, but it's like minimal, man. I can't. When I was in my 20s, I used to watch so much news to stay informed, and now it's just like I can't stomach it. I can't stomach it anymore, man. It's people on the left and right and middle, like, screaming at each other, and it's just like, we're supposed to be together somehow, and
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah. Anyway, sports news.
Okay.
Okay, so we talked about this before, but it didn't get recorded, so I feel bad, but okay. Your team for football is...
Oh, you're not going to bring this up.
Well, I am, but okay. I am.
It's the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, and I'm a 49er fan, so we got the Battle of the Bay going here. Now, I'm going to be honest. I could give a shit less about preseason, but yesterday, the 49ers won, what, 17-3?
I believe it was 17-3.
So, in other words, San Francisco's bench kicked Oakland's bench's ass. Hooray. That'll come in handy if they ever manage to meet in a regular season and all the starters are injured.
Yeah.
But I really could give a shit less about the preseason. The only reason I'm glad there's a preseason is because it means that there's a regular season coming, you know? But the reason I bring it up wasn't to make fun of you, but apparently two people got shot at that game. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it in San Francisco or was it in Oakland?
It was a Candlestick.
It was a Candlestick. Now, you know, this shouldn't come as a surprise to most because we know that the gangsta thugs, you know, they run with the Niners. Like, 49ers have had all these ties with the gangs all the time, especially when they're in L.A. during the... Oh, wait, that's the Raiders.
Oh,
why the fuck is it that this shit happened in a 49er game? I mean, did you hear about this? At all?
No, and I thought you were talking about something else at first because yesterday, I think it was, at a Mexican soccer game, or football as they call it.
Football?
Their stadium's like 100,000 people. They had 100,000 people in there, and there was gunshots. There was a firefight outside the stadium. Three shots were fired between cops and somebody else. The entire stadium freaked out, and they were showing the soccer team was racing off the field, and the crowd got so anxious they jumped out of the stands onto the field and started chasing the team.
That's fucking crazy, dude.
That's what I said. I was like, holy.
You usually only see that shit during championships.
I know.
Or World Cups or whatever. Okay, so apparently, I'll just read it as I got here and then we can riff off it, but a man wearing a shirt slamming the San Francisco 49ers was seriously wounded as gunfire erupted in the parking lot after the team's NFL preseason game, while another man sustained lesser injuries in an earlier shooting. So there was two shootings, man. Police Sergeant Frank Harrell said that in Saturday's attack, the 24-year-old man who was wearing a t-shirt referring to the 49ers with an obscenity, and I don't know what it was. I don't know what it was because, like, it didn't say in the article. I'm guessing it was fuck or shit or cunt.
I'm thinking it has something to do with San Francisco.
Bitch, right, fag. I just want to make it clear right here that this is still, we're not beeping shit. I don't know. Anyway, so this guy wearing this, I guess, we'll just say it's a fuck 49er shirt, because I don't know any better. He was shot 2 to 4 times in the stomach. Now, how do you not know the number? 2 to 4 times?
But like, I mean, 3?
There's going to be a number of bullets. You know what I mean? Like, they should figure that shit out. There's going to be a number of holes, man.
He was shot 4 times, but there was only 2 holes and 3 bullets.
Yeah. Anyway.
That guy has a good shot. He can shoot right back in the same hole.
And dude was messed up. He made a bullseye, and then he just...
And dude was messed up, because you're talking about the Frank McCourt, the Dodgers stuff.
Yeah, they reference it, and I didn't put it in there, but yeah, I mean, this shit's starting to become somewhat frequent in California, man.
I know, it's not good.
No. Anyway, it says he drove his truck to a gate, stumbled to security. The officer said, "We're treating it as separate shootings, but we believe they're related." And during the game, the Oakland Tribune reported that a 26-year-old San Rafael man was assaulted and knocked unconscious in a men's restroom.
For reaching underneath the...
It didn't say, but...
Did he reach underneath the stall?
You know, it's a San Francisco game. You can draw your own conclusions. But it said there was no immediate indication that it was connected to the post-game shootings.
You're unbiased is because you're a San Francisco fan and you're making all the jokes about them.
No, I know.
It's
yeah.
It's great.
Well, I love my team, but I'm the first to tell you. I mean, me and Gay Gary have a bet, and I have the upper part of the bet for the 49ers, which is that they'll go 7-9 for the season.
Oh, yeah.
Now, keep in mind, I'm the positive one. It's really hard to be
too upbeat. What is Gay Gary's team?
He's also a 49er fan. Is he? He lived in Oakland for a while. He was explaining that, but they were Niner fans, and he can't remember if they're in LA or not.
He's a San Francisco fan. San Francisco fan because he lived in Oakland for a while?
Yeah. No, well, because he's in the Bay, but the timeline.
Oh, maybe the Raiders.
The timeline from what he told me, I'm pretty sure the Raiders were in LA. Like, I'm 90% positive that the Raiders were in LA.
They only moved back.
So it does make sense. Like, I mean, people in Oakland were probably like, fuck the Raiders at that point.
Yeah, because they only moved back somewhat recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it was the same year the Rams went to St. Louis. LA lost both of their fucking teams the same year, man. Sucked to be in LA, but, you know, fuck them, dude. Sunshine all the time. Fucking all that shit. Fuck that. So, yeah, so that's the only reason I brought up the Raiders 49 games, because I could give a fuck less about the preseason, but that sure was a little eventful.
It sounds like it. Well, you know, it sucks, too, because then it's one of those little things that can play, that can wreak havoc on your team's psychological game.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you're sitting there going, I wonder, is anybody going to get killed in my game tonight?
See, what might wreak havoc for your Raiders, I think, is going
to improve. All the other teams they have to play?
Oh, dude, I think it's going to improve the confidence of the Niners, dude. Or maybe not improve the confidence, but decrease the confidence of people going in a Candlestick. Because before, you didn't really have to worry about San Francisco. You're like, they're drinking wine while they're tailgating and stuff like that. But now they're like, man, I could get fucked up on the field. Like, I come out with a gun. So all I'm saying is, like, the Niners might have a bit of a psychological edge because of this. Will it be enough to overcome Alex Smith? No. Nothing can overcome Alex Smith, dude. That fucker... It's sort of like when you have arsenic in the drinking water and you try and boil it out, but it doesn't boil out because it's arsenic. That's Alex Smith, dude. He just comes back year after year. You can't get rid of him. He poisons the fucking team.
You think his nickname is now Arsenic and Old Lace? Cause
yeah, his nickname is Arsenic and Old Lace. Okay, other news. Last night, the Cardinals announced they're signing... Fitzgerald, what's his face? What's his first name?
I know too, and I can't think of it. Yeah.
All right, their wide receiver to an 8-year, $120 million deal with $50 million guaranteed. This will put Fitzgerald in Arizona through the 2018 season, assuming that they don't tank the contract, give him guaranteed money, and would make him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Are you ready to get it sick for a couple of reasons here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the list of players who make more than Fitzgerald, and this is like all time. You ready for this?
Yes.
Peyton Manning makes sense, right? Yeah, who make more?
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to get sick?
Yeah.
Philip Rivers.
Philip Rivers?
I know, dude. Philip Rivers. Philip, I have yet to win a big game Rivers, man. How the fuck is he making that much money? I thought he was back
teaching high school ball at his hometown by now. Seriously, I mean, wow.
Yeah, I think that's Carlson Palmer, man.
Wow.
How is he making that kind of a paycheck? But the Chargers fucking sucked last year, too, man.
Yeah.
Did they even make the playoffs?
No.
I don't think they did.
They're just kind of famous because they're one of those teams that could blow you away at any given time. It's just probably not going to happen to you.
Right. Sort of like Buffalo dominated everybody, but you always bet against Buffalo in the Super Bowl, you know what I
or
mean?
Like people who give Buffalo a chance because Phil Sims was their quarterback at one time.
That was the Giants.
I know. What am I thinking of?
If they had Phil Sims as a quarterback?
No, I'm thinking who was the Buffaloes?
Oh, Jim Kelly?
Jim Kelly.
But Jim Kelly was a winner. That shit was not
right, but
his
it doesn't
fault.
Matter now.
Right.
People bringing up old shit like it
but,
still works.
You wanted me to bring up old shit, though? UFC, no. Wrong sport. Right. The USFL. He fucking threw for, like, 500 yards in the USFL championship game and beat Steve Young's team. I believe the Express. He fucking won that championship. So the problem isn't that, like, Jim Kelly wasn't a winner. The problem was that Thurman Thomas averaged 100 yards a game, and in the playoffs, he averaged around 100. But then you look at the Super Bowls, he didn't even have 100 yards for those four Super Bowls total, man. Like, and then Scott Norwood, like, being in the kick.
Well, you see, and that's why I hate the Cowboys. But that era Cowboys, you know, with Aikman and Michael Irving and stuff, that is why that they are going to be forever one of the best teams to ever play the game, because all of their players were awesome.
Yeah,
Emmitt Smith is going to be is going to go down as one of the greatest running backs of all time.
I hate
Deion Sanders.
The guy
can play some ball. You can put any ball in his hand. Well, you can put my balls in his hand, and he's going to make me feel real good.
We got his last Super Bowl because we had Deion, and then he turned around and went to the 40 fucking nine the fucking Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. I mean, fuck, man.
Well, he's like a hired gun.
Yeah, he was, and for multiple sports too. He was on my Braves back when I rooted for the Braves before I realized there were everything that's wrong with baseball. Now I just root against the Yankees.
They're
it's
America's
been a good
team.
Few seasons, man. But yeah, it's fuck. Oh, you're an Athletics fan?
That's the Atlanta Braves hat.
Oh, it's green.
That's the St. Patrick's Day. I have a black one.
Threw me off, dude. I saw the A and I was green. I thought Athletics. Yeah, you're right. That is the same font. Yeah, I used to be a Braves fan, and then I realized everything I hated the Yankees for, the Braves represented, and the Braves would have been the worst team in the baseball if not for the Yankees. Now, that's not necessarily true anymore.
Now, if it makes you feel any better, they're just barely... Well, they're in first place now, but...
Who, the Braves? The
Braves, but it's not pretty.
I don't even follow baseball anymore.
Is that my feet that stink? I think it is. I wore flip-flops.
I don't really smell anything, but I smoked for a long time, so I kind of did. Oh, is that a
Braves hat?
That is a Braves hat. Nice. Okay.
Neither one of those fit my fat ass head, but
yeah, that's a crazy Braves hat too, because it's got like a Native American who's screaming.
That's the one the feather, from the
but he looks like you know what
that's
he
the
looks
70s.
Like.
That's for the Hank Aaron. Era.
Really? That was a symbol back then?
No, that was on their jersey. It wasn't on their hat.
So it's like a throwback.
Yeah, their hat was a lowercase a. Okay. I have that hat in the car.
You know what he looks like? He looks like... Do you remember the 7-Up commercials in the 80s where the black guy with the cowboy hat was like, these are colas. These are uncolas, as you can see. Like, he looks like him with a mohawk and a feather, man. 7-Up.
Who is that guy? Why is he...
I don't know his name, but he was also in... he was in Live and Let Die, the James Bond movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the one that completely
like,
takes place... Or almost completely
like
takes
place
in New Orleans.
Dark. No, he's not dark black. He's
no, he's black, dude. Like, Wesley Snipes black. Like, he's black, dude.
The next time I go to get a shirt, like I take my wife's trying to get some clothes... Like, what color black? Black. Like, Wesley Snipes black.
Just be careful you say it to me.
Wesley Snipes black. That's hilarious.
Anyway. Back to a little football here. Oh. Okay, you want to know the last person on that list, the only other person who makes more money than Larry Fitzgerald. I forgot. I can't believe I spaced on that. But okay, you ready for this?
I can't believe I said that.
Are you ready for this? Who do you think it is? Let me just throw out a guess. Take three guesses, dude.
Okay, my first guess would be...
You know what? Let me even give you a hint. Let me give you one hint. No. But you think along the right lines in that, like... Think along the lines of doesn't deserve it. I'll give you three guesses, and it's a quarterback.
Oh, it's a quarterback? Yeah. Who doesn't deserve it? Matt Stafford?
No. You're staring down like I'm going to, like, whisper the name silently or something. I'm trying
to think of a really shitty quarterback. Donovan McNabb?
No.
Oh.
Okay, one more guess. It's just a quarterback who doesn't deserve it. I'm not saying that they're terrible, but they definitely don't deserve this contract.
I'm going to say it, even though I don't think it's true. Vic?
Eli Manning.
Oh, he isn't bad.
Can you fucking believe it? Eli Manning.
He didn't even win the Oreo cookie eating contest.
So, in other words, I don't know where he is on this list, but he's one of the top four highest paid NFL players ever. Eli Manning. Yeah.
Was Peyton Manning on that list?
Yeah, Peyton Manning is actually... I know it wasn't an article, but I know this. He's the highest paid player in NFL history. I'm not sure if he is anymore because he renegotiated his contract to be longer for less money so that the team could bring in more veteran, like, free agents. Like, fit more people. Yeah, he did because he's got tons of money. He's in every other commercial. And I'm sure he wants another Super Bowl. I mean, he got knocked on his ass a lot last year.
That's a stud move right there.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Peyton, man. Some people are down on him and say he doesn't win the big game or whatever. And he did win his big game against Rex Hamilton. But you know what? Cowboys won their first two Super Bowls in that Aikman era against the Bills. So don't fucking tell me that shit don't count. Because Peyton Manning still had to put up scores against one of the toughest defenses to be in the Super Bowl. And definitely the best special teams, man. Devin Hester running that shit in for a touchdown, like the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. Do you know how fucking... Okay, I'm sorry, I gotta go into gambling story here.
A gambling story?
Yeah. When I was living in Washington, I had a roommate who drank a lot. And while he's really drunk, I bet him that the Bears would score... Like, he was wanting to bet me, like, point spreads and stuff. I'm like, no, I don't really want to bet any of that. But I was like, I'll tell you what. I will bet that the Bears' defense or special team scores a touchdown during the game. And he's like, no, they're going to score it. And I was like, all right. And he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Yeah, all right, you're on. So we bet, like, $20.
Uh-huh.
Or no, we bet $5. I'm sorry. I want to get the details of the story right. And for me, I never bet more than $5 on a game anyway. Like, I just never want to get myself into trouble. So when the day of the Super Bowl comes, he fucking sobers up and he claims he doesn't remember betting. He's like, there's no way I would have bet on, like, the defense or the special teams, you know, scoring a touchdown. Which, I mean, I kind of believe that he didn't remember it. Because, you know, he was even hesitant then to make the bet.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, well, you made the bet, dude, so I don't know what to tell you. And he's like, no, fuck that. And I was like, come on, dude, are you going to Welsh on me or something if they do this? And he's like, all right, I'll tell you what. You take out the defense and it's just a special team that scores a touchdown. And I was like, well, if you're going to do that to me, man, you got to give me 4-1 odds. And he's like, all right, done. So opening kickoff, fucking they kicked to Devin Hester. Like later on, I heard the coach for Indianapolis, Tony Dungy, was saying he had him kick the ball right to Devin Hester because they wanted to show they weren't afraid of Devin Hester. So he had that record year where he like smashed the all-time return record for a career, his fucking rookie season, like had the most special teams touchdowns. Well, he ran it in for a touchdown, the opening kickoff. So fucking beautiful to get a 20 spot on the first play of the game, too.
There you go.
And that was the only bet I took. So I forgot why I went into that, but, you know. Oh, yeah, because we were talking about the Colts and Bears Super Bowl.
The, yeah, there was a sports thing I had, too. I can't.
Well, Chad Ochocinco.
Did he move in with somebody?
I don't know yet. I haven't read about that yet. But I think it was one of those stories that was quirky and people printed it, but like I don't think anybody really cares with the result. You know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, his roommate like smokes a cigar and then Ochocinco like crinkles his nose and puts it out with the umbrella, throws it in the garbage.
It's like the Odd Couple.
Right. Nobody gives a shit. That shit's been done to death. But he was running a cut route. Like, he went 15 yards, like, cut to the left. This guy's really close to him. And he just spaces out, gets the ball, and fucking got nailed so hard. Like, just fucking got rattled by Mason Foster.
Did they take him off the field?
Well, it didn't take him off the field. He seemed like he was okay, but it was like, a hard hit. And he was defenseless under the new rules. Ochocinco was. So, Foster's probably going to get a big fine. But apparently Ochocinco tweeted out that that's the way that football's supposed to be done, and that he'll pay the fine if he winds up getting fined by the league.
Oh, see, now I'm starting to like him a little bit more. Now.
I like Ochocinco, man, but I got to learn to hate him because he's with the Patriots. He's a fucking braggart and a douchebag, but, you know, he's kind of fun. No, he's not T.O., though, because T.O. destroys teams with his distractions and shit, and Ochocinco just entertains, I feel like he's just like, I'm going to find a way to do, like, some crazy touchdown dance. Mm-hmm. Like, Terrell Owens did that, but then he's also like, I'm going to, when Donovan McNabb is sleeping tonight, I'm going to sneak in and put his hand in a pan of water so that he wets his bed and everybody sees it.
And then he's like,
Terrell Owens hijinks.
Then I'm
going to
cover his wife's mouth and rape her.
Right.
I'll show him.
That's a little more maniacal than I was giving credit for, but yeah, I mean, if anybody's capable of rape, I'm sure Terrell Owens.
That's horrible. That's horrible.
You play with the Cowboys for a while. Right?
Come on.
Only the Raiders have a higher
rate stat. It's like
if you're talking lifetime, anyway.
In MMA, they have a choke that they call the rape choke because it's like no technique to it. It's like if you're on top of a guy and you're trying to do stuff, but you can't, you go.
And rape him?
Well, because
you slowly slide your legs behind
his
ass.
His back and his legs are open and you're in between his legs and you're like.
I got you.
He loved it. I thought that was funny.
You want to talk some ball? Talk some basketball?
Sure. What do you got?
The Chinese Basketball Association will not take contracted NBA players for playing for domestic teams unless they sign a contract with China that says they'll remain there for however many seasons they sign the contract. That they will not allow opt-outs. So that basically puts the kibosh on Kobe Bryant's plans. He was talking about playing for China, and also Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul were also talking about it. So they will not be doing it under the Chinese government's rules. So
that sounds something more like the NBA would say.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem like kind of a douchebag move to go play for China, though? I mean, that's the Chinese government putting up the money. Like, we're supposed to not like the Chinese, aren't we?
Well,
I mean, the government. No. Aren't they harsh on, like...
Everything. They are kind of the new USSR. The problem being is that people want to be mean to them in our country, but you can't because they own us. Seriously? So you want to do stuff, but you can't do too much.
They really do, too, man.
They own everything.
They don't own everything, but like we owe them a lot of fucking money, like our banking system and stuff. They went out, like, have you ever seen the movie Rounders? this is the comparison I'll do to it. So anybody seen the movie Rounders? It's like Matt Damon plays poker. In fact, he's playing No Hold'em in that movie, and that's how I learned to play No Hold'em poker, was in Rounders. And this was like a few years before, you know, everybody started playing No Hold. I want to say No Hold's Barred, but that's not right.
Texas Hold'em.
Anyway, so Matt Damon's friend, the Worm, not Dennis Rodman, but it's a guy played by Edward Norton. And so when he gets out of prison, he owed all these people money. Well, this one guy like bought all his debt and then was like shaking him down for the entire total. See, that's us, man. Like, we're like Edward Norton. Hey, man, give me a fire spot. I'll pay you back. I just want to fucking bomb some brown people. Give me, like, 20 bucks. Come on, man. No big deal. Come on. What's $20 billion? So we owed all this money. China bought out a lot of that debt, and they're sitting on, like, most of our debt, like, as a nation. So it's kind of crazy, dude.
It's well, you know, especially with all the stuff going on, like, in... where, you know, Gaddafi's at?
Libya.
I wanted to say Lebanon for a long time there. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. Especially with all that stuff going on, it's going to take more money to do that.
Yeah.
We're trying to come out of an economic crisis. It's just insane. And so, I just think that... I think that some of these NBA stars are thinking... I have to think ahead and market myself where the next big money sports thing is going to be.
Yeah, but how many years could Kobe Bryant have left to even make that payoff, man? That's true. I'm telling you right now, we China, will not see if Kobe in five seasons.
In China, you might.
What a douchebag.
Kobe probably beat the hell out of most of China.
It's possible. I mean, right now we would, but, you know, 5 years...
You may
not be able to walk anymore in 5 years, the rate he's going, man. He had a finger injury, and he played through it the entire year. Apparently, like, part of his, like, the tip of his, I think his index finger is, like, fucking basically just paralyzed on his shooting hand. Like, he can't feel it anymore because he refused.
I remember hearing about that, yeah.
But, that's a permanent condition he has now. So how many more things is he going to fuck up?
Well, and you know what's funny is that I think sometimes if you don't think about it, or if you're not, like, the major NBA fan, you know, like, out of the major sports, football's my sport.
Mm-hmm.
I watch every game that I can. I'm involved with the whole season. I, for the most part, have a really good grasp on stats and scores for that season. You know, who's in first, how many games out they are, who has a bye this week, who doesn't have one, who's playing Monday night, who's playing Thursday night, who's playing what.
Yeah.
NBA for me, it's not that I don't like it, but NBA is much easier to jump in on for one game and walk away because it's so much action that you see right then and there, and then you can leave. They play 155 games a year, so you can jump in whenever you want and see a game. But the it blows my mind that I still think and I realize how long Kobe's been playing. He's getting old.
Well,
he's been playing for a while. He's not some new kid anymore.
Well, and you got to consider he played not right out of high school, but a year out of high school. Like, I think when he was 18, he went to Europe and played for a year and then went into the NBA when he was 19. And I believe he's like 31 now. So, I mean, that's quite, I mean, and he started young, and 31 is not old by any means. And I say that because I'm 32.
Yeah.
And 31 is old, fuck. But for an NBA body that's been playing that many games and into the playoffs almost all those seasons, you know, that's a lot of fucking miles on that body. That's a lot of fucking miles. So, I mean, I seriously doubt he's going to play another five seasons. Well, I mean, I just don't think your body can hold up that long.
You know, another funny thing was that because powwow's coming up and my daughter's dancing, her colors are purple and gray and white. But purple mostly. So I'm like, well, I gotta get me something, you know, so that when I'm going around, because I have to walk her around, because she can't dance by herself, you know, she can barely walk.
Uh-huh.
I need to be able to, you know, kind of look like I'm hooked up color wise with her. So we have to.
So if this is leading into basketball, you're either referring to the Lakers or the Jazz.
Well, it's hilarious. Because I went on the computer and I found a new era hat, you know, but mm-hmm. one that would fit me, not one of these tiny things that gave me the wrong size. But I kept them anyways because I don't was stupid. I didn't send them back. But it was a new era hat, but it's Vans, the shoe company.
Uh-huh.
And it's gray, but everything else is in purple. So I was like, oh, that will work perfect. And but I was like, oh, I need some purple shoes. And so I started thinking, or like a purple shirt, but what could I get a purple shirt? I was like, oh, Jazz, like an old school Jazz one or something, you know? And then I was, like, looking on the computer. They had Kobe Bryant shoes. They were black, purple, and yellow, and I was like, well, they're pretty sweet looking.
Do they call them, like, Mambas or something?
They're called Kobe's.
So it's named after beef.
They're pretty... cheese. they're pretty sweet looking, and they're purple. Well, I have purple in them, but I was like, I seriously thought this. Oh, Biggie would never let me forget this.
No, I fucking hate the Lakers.
I cannot. You'd kill me. I would never live this down.
I wouldn't kill you, I'm lucky every time they don't make the playoffs, I would give you endless shit for sure.
I'm lucky I don't hear more about the Jordan stuff. if I incorporated Kobe to this.
Well, we talked it out. Like, you seem to be a fan of the NBA in general, and I can respect that. Well, I mean, I can't.
No,
because you know what it is? Is there was, like, what drove me crazy about the Chicago Bulls was, like, I came from Portland, and, like, I lived in Oregon through, like, a lot of that run, the Trailblazers run in the early 90s. But then I moved to fucking Montana during the Jailblazers era. During the entire Jailblazers era, for the most part, I was living in Montana. And I used to hear, like, more shit from Bulls fans than anybody. And it was like, fuck you, because these weren't really Bulls fans. These were guys who, like, didn't have a team, didn't give a shit about basketball. And then they saw Michael Jordan. They would talk on and on about Michael Jordan. But they couldn't fucking name anybody else in the league.
Yeah.
They didn't know what Dominique Wilkins was doing. They didn't know that Larry Bird or Magic Johnson were, like, the guys who really saved the league. And then Jordan benefited from that when he came in. By the time Jordan came into the league...
It was already on its way back up.
Dude, 5 years of fucking bringing the league back up.
You had Patrick Ewing in the league before Jordan. And Patrick Ewing was doing a big...
Ewing actually came after. He was in the 85 draft.
A year after then?
Yeah.
Okay, still...
But it was the same era. I mean, Patrick Charles Barkley Ewing, was, like, 84...
What was the other one? Was do you know who always was one of my? I hate the Knicks.
Stockton was 84 too.
I hate the Knicks, but one of my favorite players, and I always think of him as being like one of the great good guys, but was actually a good player. Charles Oakley.
Yeah.
I love watching that guy.
He played for the Bulls for a while too. He's actually like Michael Jordan's best friend.
Charles Oakley?
Yeah, believe it or not.
I liked him because it's Charles Oakley.
This is my impersonation of Charles Oakley.
Hey, look, I'm Charles Oakley. I'm in the paint. You're right there. Boom. Yeah. He's as ugly stylistically as possible. It was hard to get a shot off on that guy.
I used to have an impression of Kobe Bryant, and it pissed me off because the impression I did, like, I just heard him talking in a game, and I started doing this impression, and what happened was, like, I did this for, like, 2-3 years, and people used to laugh when we watched games because I'd just be ripping on him. And then the man show happened. And did you ever watch the man show?
I saw a couple times.
Okay, like... Jimmy Kimmel used to do an impression of Karl Malone, and it's the exact same impression I did of Kobe Bryant. And it pissed me off because I'm like, God damn it, everybody's going to think I was copying Jimmy Kimmel. But this is my impression first, I swear. I mean, maybe he had it on Karl Malone for a few years, but he was just like, you know, I felt it. I struggled. It was Kobe time. You know, I went down the lane, I fouled away, and I went to the basket. It was Kobe time. They couldn't stop me. You know, I get a wide open jumper, I'm going to take it. It's Kobe time. And he would talk about himself in the first person. So, yeah, that shit pissed me off. But anyway, my point, fucking going
back to our point,
was that, like, when we talked about that Dunk Dolls thing, like, you named off so many players and knew so many players. Like, I respect that because you are at least, like, you're at least a fan of the game.
No, we used to play every day before school at the playground and at lunch and after school at the playground. And then go to my friend's house our friends who had one in the driveway or whatever. We'd try to play a full 5-on-5 basketball game in someone's driveway.
You know,
I'm like a 9-foot rim because you couldn't get it 10-foot tall because there was nothing high enough to hang off.
Did you ever think you'd be in the NBA when you were a kid?
No, because I knew I wasn't going to college.
Just because of that?
Yeah.
Boy, if only you'd grown up during this era, maybe you would have heard that dream. Going to college is like a knock against you anymore.
Sports. Okay, we're going to take this to another sports section thing. But you just said that about how if I was in school now, maybe it would have changed the way I looked at things.
Yeah.
Okay. American Ninja Warrior. Do you ever watch that?
You type Ninja Warrior?
That show?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On Spike TV?
It's on G4 or something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I love it. I love it, dude. Now, I don't watch it religiously. But it's when great. When nothing else is on, I flip it on and I enjoy the shit. Even my wife likes it. Which
me and Amy love it. We watch it. And I told her, because Amy was an athlete in high school. And I said, hey, do you think that if you would have been in high school, or say you would have been 14, and you would have been sitting in someone's house and you saw this, do you think that you would have maybe changed your life? Not life, but changed something because you saw this and you wanted to do this? Like you would start working out with the hope of getting on this show one day and doing this? And she's like, no. I was like, you know, I think I might have. This is sweet. I was like, you know, this is like good stuff. I mean,
you know, I can't tell you how many times I used to practice with a giant fucking mallet thing with the thing on both sides, trying to knock somebody off a podium because of American Gladiator. It didn't come to anything, but
but it's all for the $1 million contract to be a professional American Gladiator.
Yeah, you know, the irony of that is by the time I would have been old enough, it would have been the knock, like the remake on NBC that lasted, like, what, half an episode?
The whole
they don't even make it an episode. Like, they were halfway through and NBC was like, you know what, this is kind of lame. Let's just cut to a fucking half-hour commercial for AT&T or something.
The reason why it was so good before is because it was lame. You know, it was like, oh, this is weak.
It was any time you have a character named Zap on your show, that shit is lame, too.
Zap.
What would you say the equivalent to
here's American... Zap, Thunder, Lightning, I'm Tanya.
sort of the Captain Planet thing, like, Earth, Wind, Fire, Heart. And you're like, you just want to beat the shit out of the heart.
Your heart isn't even
kid,
an element.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what the fuck, dude?
Heart.
God, hated her. But what would you say today's equivalent to American Gladiator is?
Oh, it's probably gonna be American Ninja.
Oh, or Double Dare, Ninja Warrior,
or Double Dare.
Is Double Dare still on?
I'm sure somewhere.
Double Dare almost deserves its own platform.
That's true.
That show was around when we were kids, and they had so many spinoffs. Do you remember Family Double Dare?
Yeah.
Because it was basically Double Dare, but they're like, hey, we're going to throw in the whole family, and it's going to take way longer because everybody's fighting, and a kid might get smacked in the back of the head. And
oh, yeah.
And the show's an hour instead of a half hour, and you cover as much ground. You know, we don't want to see that shit. We want to see kids jumping and pudding.
You sound like a pedophile right there. I wanted to be on that show when I was a kid, like in junior high, because I realized that if you were on that show, you got a free pair of Reeboks.
Really?
And I was like, I'm getting those Reeboks. I said, I don't got no Reeboks. I'm going to get me some Reeboks. Because I was wearing, like, broke bootleg Reeboks. They were called Cheetahs.
Cheetahs?
They looked just like Reeboks, except for they weren't made out of quality materials. Or
I had one pair of Reeboks ever. I had a pair of pumps. But
oh,
not,
you did?
Yeah, yeah. It was a little past when they were popular. I mean, like, there were still a lot of people who were like, Reebok pumps, but they weren't what they were when they first came out, you know? But I got it right before we went to play a championship game of football, and they were the completely wrong fucking shoes to wear, but I was like, I got pumps! Yeah. So I, like, put them on and play football. And
they're like, but you ain't got no grip.
Basically. I was playing defensive tackle, and I was fucking running up against, like, fucking the left guard and the left tackle and just fucking getting stopped, man, because I would slide on the field. Ooh. Oh, phone. Phone.
Phone. That's my dad. Hold on. Hello. He can listen to it. Hey. No, I have not. Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. I'm going to... What time is it now? Sure thing. All right, let's just drop by whenever. Oh, just drop her by. All right, thanks. Bye.
That's okay. That was my dad has my daughter today.
Right.
And I went I went to get her before, after work, before we were going to come over.
Uh-huh.
And he lives way out in Birdseye. So I drove out to get her, but they weren't there. So I was like, oh, crap, where did they go? So I sat down on their couch, and I got woken up by him calling me, saying, hey, we're not there. I was asleep for like an hour on their couch. And he's like, oh, okay, well, can you, we're over here doing this, whatever. I'm like, okay, I'll come by and pick her up later. So he's going to drop her by now. I don't have to go anywhere.
Nice.
But but you'll probably hear a baby before the radio show is over.
That's good. I was going to bring my kid for a little while there, too. And since you didn't have yours, my wife took Marissa and took my daughter. But for a while there, it would have been like daddy daycare, only funny.
Yeah funny.
Anybody who knows Eddie Murphy hadn't been funny since like, what'd you say was the last funny movie he did?
Coming
like Harlem Nights, maybe?
Coming to America.
Really? I liked Harlem Nights. Yeah. No?
You like Norbit or whatever that thing was called?
Norbit? No. No, that shit is terrible.
That'd be good.
Okay. All right, so I got a little bit of movie news here. We were talking earlier about pedophiles. Speaking of pedophiles, The Big Lebowski had a reunion. They had almost all the big names that were in The Big Lebowski. They had Jeff Bridges and what's-his-face creepy-looking dude with the teeth, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah.
They had Gets Naked in Every Movie She Ever Does with red hair. What's her name? Julianne Moore?
Julianne Moore.
Right. So I'll just describe everybody like that. They had that guy who's always in Westerns.
You know that one
but
douche?
But now he just does anything for a paycheck. Sam Elliott,
yeah.
Right? But they had John Turturro, who, by the way, said during the thing, somebody asked him why he did Transformers. He basically alluded to, like, he needs to make a living, which is, like, the least surprising answer ever, man.
Surprisingly honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he doesn't have to promote it anymore. Anyway, so John Turturro was talking about this, and I guess he's somewhat serious about it. Like, he wants to do a spinoff of The Big Lebowski with his character, the Jesus. You know, don't fuck with the Jesus.
Uh-huh.
He wants to do a character where this guy is the main character and he drives a bus of, like, school children and he's trying to rehabilitate himself. And apparently the Coen brothers won't, they think it's a great idea, but they refuse to write or direct it, so it's probably not going to happen, but I think we got to make this movie happen, dude.
Me and you?
Yeah. Yeah, us personally. We got to knock down some doors, fucking knock in a few heads, and this could be an entertaining movie, I think. No thoughts on, are you not a Lebowski lover?
Do you know what? I've seen half of The Big Lebowski.
You've never seen The Big, oh my God.
My wife is going to, I know, she kills me all the time about it.
It's one of those movies that grows on you every time you see it. The first time I saw it, I didn't understand it.
Well, it's science. I like the Coen Brothers movies. I mean,
what's that?
I like Coen Brothers. They make Raising Arizona is one of the best movies ever made.
I'm sorry, but it's not even the best Coen Brothers movie ever made.
Yes, it is. Okay, then.
I like it.
Did you see how I answered your attack with the Coen Brothers movie right. reference?
But see, if you like that, you should love, like, John Goodman is his best performance ever in The Big Lebowski. Like, he's so great in this. And they share a lot of the same actors that are in Raising Arizona. So
Goodman's in Raising Arizona.
Yeah, you might enjoy it if you watch it. Want a toe? I can get you a toe. It's not hard to get a toe.
I probably will, just because I haven't watched it all the way through. I just know that Jeff Bridges wears a robe.
Yeah. And yeah, throughout the dude, entire movie.
And I know that if you go to Hastings, you can buy the dude doll.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that too. The in-action figure, I think they call it.
In-action figure.
So.
And then what was, wasn't, No Country for Old Men wasn't them.
Coen Brothers? Yeah, it was.
So then they did,
And they also did the remake of True Grit, which is fucking
and
good.
They did The Road?
The Road. The post-apocalyptic movie? No.
No, it's the same guy who wrote the, it's the same guy who wrote...
I don't know who wrote it, but I'm telling you, it is so clearly not a Coen
Brothers movie. That's what I was saying, but the same guy who wrote No Country for Old Men wrote The Road.
Oh.
I thought The Road was a
I can see that. Yeah, it's good. But it's also one of those ones my wife thinks it's really rewatchable, but I was like one and done on that, man. I tried to watch it again. I'm like, I can't watch it. Like,
I liked watching it again.
Well, I enjoyed it, but the second time through, all I could think about is like the dad's dying. Like, he's going to die. He's going to fucking leave his kid. Oh, spoiler alert.
Well, no,
but I mean, like, he's going to leave his kid, like, all alone. That shit is
too
depressing.
The part that I think was good,
man,
about that movie was at the end, you're like, did that kid get saved?
Oh, the kid totally got saved. I never asked that.
But you never know, because they don't, you know.
I'll tell you why you know, because the dog is fine. Dude, think about it. In a post-apocalyptic world,
if they have a dog and they haven't eaten it yet, then...
Well, I mean, they kept their dog alive. Like, that's not even a person. If you're keeping your dog alive...
I'm liking the way you're looking at this, David.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the super big animal guy, but to me, that was, like, the sure sign that these people are all right.
Right.
Was, like, there's no reason to keep a dog alive that doesn't fucking attack people or anything, in that world. But anyway...
Or easy to do, so they're good foragers.
Yeah, it was a great movie, and I'm not taken away from that. And I love, like, the ending is really good. I just, like, it was so depressing. It's like, I don't know how many times I have in me. Sort of like The Elephant Man. I love The Elephant Man, but I can only watch it every, like, 7 or 8 years because it's just too fucking depressing.
Did you watch The Book of Eli?
I love The Book of Eli. I got it on Blu-ray. And that's one that's very rewatchable to me.
Do what the best part was at the end. And you're like, oh, that totally, that's why he did, oh.
Yeah.
That was such a good movie. I like how the end, too. Like,
me and my wife had a lot of fights about that ending, but I thought it was great. She's just like, you can see him looking at stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the Bible was helping him. I don't know, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they basically introduced that, like, God is the one helping him on this. So I'm willing to... I'm not religious or anything, but the way the movie goes together, I'm willing to give it, like, he could have pulled all that off because he was, like...
had extra help.
Yeah, yeah, because he had the extra help, exactly.
If you're willing to believe that What's-His-Face can make it all the way to the... wherever in California they were.
Oh, they wound up in Alcatraz.
Yeah, but where was that town?
Oh, I have no idea.
I'm assuming it was somewhere in California, somewhere, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
Area. The, what's that guy's name, too?
Oh, the actor?
Yeah.
Gary Oldman.
If Gary Oldman can make it all the way over to Idaho from England to rule a little small town, and you have trouble believing that the guy can see?
It's a good point.
And plus, blind people have heightened senses.
Right, yeah, yeah. No, everything about that movie was good, too. Like, tell me one thing that was not good about the movie. The story is good. The music's good.
The story was so good.
The cinematography
is
amazing.
When I realized what it was all about, finally at the end, I was like, oh, snap, that's sweet.
Yeah, the acting was good. Like, everything in that movie was solid.
Here's the thing you have to worry about. Okay. Now, there's a common thread with movies lately. Especially
like
movies
common
like that.
Thread while you're threading together.
Can
a
I
shoot?
Try to put that together now? It is apocalyptic movies where people are eating each other.
Yeah, cannibalistic.
Yeah, I mean, and it's
you want to know something that made me feel smart when I watched
type
that?
Of movies.
When we were watching that, when I was watching that with my wife, and they have to do with shaky hands before they ever introduced that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did they even say anything about the shaky hands in that?
No,
it was present, but I don't think they said anything.
I don't think.
But I knew right away because I was like, people who are like, who have mad cow disease essentially have shaky hands, and that's what happens to cannibals. Is like they eat a part of the brain stem. It gives them like after like 30 years or something, it gives them like shaky hands and shit.
I didn't notice it until they went to that house. And those ladies, they fell in that trap, and they let them out because they felt bad for them. And they offered them sandwiches, and they showed them meat, and I was like, oh, don't eat that.
Yeah.
And then he knew because he could hear his hand rattling.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay, we're out of here.
The teacup, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that, too, because they didn't explain it. They just, like, they rewarded audience members who were smart by not saying it in a way. I just thought that movie was great. I really did. Another movie that was great that I'm not sure about is the remake here, but they're remaking Total Recall. Have you heard this?
I have heard about it, yeah.
Do you know who's in it?
No, who's going to be Arnold?
Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
Ah! Everybody get down! Ah!
Who's going to be Arnold?
Colin Farrell.
Get out. Colin Farrell, star of the new movie Fright Night?
Right, which I actually heard is really good. But I haven't seen it yet. But I've heard it's really good by people who are skeptical of it going in. So I have hopes for Fright Night, but not Total Recall.
It's just very rare that a horror movie drama actually is really good, I think. Yeah. Trying to put too much into one movie. But that's a remake, too. Fright Night?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got confused, too. I thought they were redoing Creepshow.
Oh, no. Oh, Fright Night is a remake of a... like an 80s vampire movie. And same concept. Like, there's a guy next door who's a vampire, and this other guy, like, the main character, like, sees him and is pretty sure he's a vampire, and he's watching him, and there's the threat that the vampire is going to come after him. But yeah, Total Recall, dude. Colin Farrell is Arnold Schwarzenegger. I can see it. I mean, they're a lot alike in their physiques.
Yeah, I know. Oh, and do a slightly offshoot of this, I heard that Conan sucked.
Yeah.
But that's another thing, too. I was worried about the guy's physique. He wasn't going to be able to be believable as Conan. And...
yeah, what I've heard is that, like, if you're sitting at home drunk with a bunch of friends, it's a great movie. Like, paying for it in the theater, it's fucking terrible.
But if you feel like it's supposed to be paying homage to the original movie, then you're going to be highly disappointed.
I don't know if they do or not. Like, I think we talked about this last time, but I'll give Conan like it is based off a source material that's like way bigger than just an Arnold movie. Although that first one, man, I fucking love Conan the Barbarian. I love Conan the Destroyer too, as cheesy as it is. But it is like a way bigger world than just the Arnold
by
movies.
By Crumb.
Yeah, we were just watching that the other night.
Quickie, who wins? Conan versus Thor.
Oh, Conan versus Thor? Thor.
No, dude. No.
Yeah.
Crumb's higher than...
the God of Thunder?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Crumb's higher than the God
of... yeah, but he's not fighting Crumb. He's fighting Conan.
Yeah,
and the only thing Conan ever says to Crumb is just like, "If you do not help me, to hell with you."
Say that again.
I've never played you before, but if you do not help me in this battle, what does he say? Go fuck yourself, or something. To hell with you. I'm pretty sure that's what he says. But no, dude, I think Thor wins. Being a comic book fan, I feel and
comic
I'm
books
not,
aren't
like,
real.
Neither's Conan. What
Conan's
the,
a barbarian.
What are you talking about?
You ever watch History Channel?
I've never seen the History Channel talk about, like,
I'm pretty sure
fucking
they were
chicks that turn blue all of a sudden and try and eat you and shit, man. Or fucking the dude who kills his mom turns into a giant snake, man. That's not real. Anyway.
It could be. Come on. Like Lord of the Rings.
Right, Lord of the Rings is real. It's off the Bible. You know what it is? You know why I might give Total Recall a chance, though?
What?
Because Bryan Cranston is playing the villain. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
I never watched it, but I know what you're talking about. I know Bryan Cranston is being Malcolm's dad.
Dude, yeah, I know, but when you watch Breaking Bad... when you first start watching the first episode, you'll see a little... like, you'll be like, oh, yeah, it's the same guy. And by the third episode, man, you will not think that's Malcolm's dad anymore.
See,
you'll be like, Jesus.
I can't watch that show because it has to do with meth. And meth... I hate meth. It freaks me out.
Dude, it's fucking good, man. And it doesn't glorize meth by any means.
I know, but I don't want to even see the any kind of picturizations or... I just cannot stand meth. It's so dirty, and it's just so nasty to me.
But see, he cooks it clean because he's a...
he's a cook that cares.
Well, he cares about his product. I mean, he's a bastard. It's called Breaking Bad because you watch, like, this guy who's inherently good at the beginning with good intentions just fucking get worse and worse and worse. And worse, dude. Every season he's fucking worse. And he looks so evil now with the shaved head and, like... because he has chemo. So, he's got brain cancer, essentially. And I don't want to go through the whole thing. You should at least check out an episode and see if it's for you. Like, it's not like it's like crystal meth. Like, there's other things going on in the show.
I feel like crystal tonight. Like crystal tonight.
You think Crystal Pepsi was cooked up in a meth lab?
It was that disgusting. Yeah, I mean,
they were like, "Oh, it's ice clear." So this is looking like a two-parter to me. You want to cleave this shit in half, Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan style?
Cleave it in half?
Yeah.
How would I do that?
Through the editing process, I'll do it.
Okay. What is that?
You want to talk for another hour?
Oh, we can do whatever you want.
All right, so we're going to cut this in half. The next episode will be part two, so look for that tomorrow. Take it easy.